Dedicated my life to Christ when I was 18 years old. Before I graduated high school, my daughter came to my graduation at just 2 weeks old. I said, you know what? I want to teach her what a real father is. And the only way to know that is to come under submission to my Heavenly Father. We're Christ ambassadors, so we have to represent Him well. And so I'd use those same lessons and teachings that I learned from my Heavenly Father to say, let me teach my kids the same.
Stop by grace. I know you listen to this right now, you probably saying, why am I here today? But I'm here to tell you that you were stopped by grace, stop in your tracks, stop to let you know that you were made to be somebody. Renew your mind, know who you were called to be. Stop by grace. Listen and learn.
Welcome to an episode of Stop by Grace Podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Richard Irvin, and I'm so happy to be back with another episode of the Stop by Grace Podcast, and we are on our 50th episode. Let's get excited. God had done so much amazing things in the last 50 episodes, and I'm so grateful for all those who have been listening, have been sharing. Please make sure to continue to share and support, and we continue on this great milestone. This is only the beginning. We have so many more episodes to come forward, so I please share to help them, to encourage them, to equip them for God's kingdom. So today, as we celebrate in our 50th episode, you know I had to do something special. So I reached out to one of my favorite podcast hosts. He has a podcast that had reached over, as we are recording now, reaching a milestone over 100,000 subscribers on his YouTube channel. This man has did so many things for the kingdom of God, from building his platform to help those who are in marriage or looking to be married, but helping the unfortunate children in foster care system, from helping people to encourage them within divorce or in marriage, and doing so much to teach and equip people to encourage them in this walk of faith. Without further ado, I'm going to let him tell more about his story and who he is. The one, the only, Latarius Whitfield. How are you doing today, my brother?
Well, I'm doing great. What's happening, brother?
Nothing much. I'm just so happy to have you on this 50th episode of Stop by Grace Podcast. And this is to share your wisdom and your testimony. And for those who don't know you, just get a little introduction about yourself and so people know where you're from and what do you do.
Born in Dallas, Texas. I'm a national playwright, director, and producer of tour shows all across the country with different celebrities in it. I'm a three-time Emmy nominated film maker. I would document my journey as I adopted these young kings. Mm-hmm. And I'm also the founder of a luxury boys home that we're building called Kingdom Royale. And as everyone knows, the host of the beloved Dear Future Wifey podcast.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. So a little bit about that, going deeper, what is your testimony from all those compliments you have for your films, for your podcast, from your organization? How did it all started though? What is your testimony?
Well, my testimony, each one of those avenues or each one of those exploits have a different testimony attached to it. But my main testimony is giving my life to Christ rededicating my life to Christ when I was 18 years old. My daughter was born 2 weeks before I graduated high school. My daughter came to my graduation at just 2 weeks old. Mm. And shortly after that, that was in April, well, actually in May of 1996. And then by December the 22nd of that same year, I said, you know what? I want to teach her what a real father is. And the only way to know that is to come under submission to my Heavenly Father. And so that's what I did and gave my life to Christ and haven't looked back since.
Amen. Amen. So that's amazing. So for you as a father and everything, what is one thing that you want to share with the people for those that listen to your podcast and like what kind of advice you want to get to like young people like myself and like relationships and in life in general? What is one thing you would give to them?
First of all, how old are you?
I'm 26.
You're 26 years old. Do you have any kids?
Not yet.
Well, good. You gotta do it the right way, right? Get married and then have kids, right?
Yeah, I'm married now.
Are you married now? So you want to have kids. So that's perfect. So the most beautiful thing that has happened to me outside of salvation is fatherhood.
Amen.
Because fatherhood is such an amazing thing that you can actually pour into a human being the same way God is pouring into us. And you can help mold and shape the trajectory of their lives and give them identity. The one thing that a father does is give identity to his offspring. And so as you give identity to these young kings, you can speak to the king of these the kings or the queens and say, this is who you are. And we always say, no, you're representing me now when you go out there. A little fun fact. The other day I got an email from my son's teacher. He had blurted out something that happened to him while he was working on something. And he yelled out he dropped the F-bomb or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the teacher was like, he has a tendency to use a lot of profanity. And I was like, hold on. Now, we don't do that in my house. Like,
yeah.
With that, I said, no, we don't go out there and represent like that.
Exactly.
And I apologized to the teacher by email, and I had him write an apology note to her as well. And I said, no, we don't conduct ourselves like that. So the great thing about him having a father present in his life, that he's not just running aimlessly in this world where he doesn't have correction and discipline, that I say, no, you represent me when you're out here, and we Amen. Don't do that. And that's the same thing that the Heavenly Father does with us. We're Christ's ambassadors, so we have to represent him well. And so I'd use those same lessons and teachings that I learned from my Heavenly Father to say, let me teach my kids the same.
Amen. That's amazing. So speaking of your fathership, being a father and everything, you also have an organization called Kingdom Royale.
Yeah.
Get a little information about that. What is the story behind that? How did it all start it, and what is the vision behind it?
So Kingdom Royale started because I adopted my nephew about 5 years ago. And my nephew was thrust in the foster care system due to a drug addiction of my sister. And I ended up adopting him. And I started learning the world of the foster care system. Mm. And in doing so, on his day of adoption, I said, God, I'd be willing to do this again, but the kid would have to be 16 years old. Reason why I said 16, because most kids that age really... African-American kids above the age of 8, the likelihood of them getting adopted is slim to none after the age of 8, because they feel like they're too old already.
Yeah.
So a 16-year-old boy, it's not going to happen. You're not going to, nine times out of 10, you're not going to adopt a 16-year-old black boy.
Not at all.
He's just like, no, you want the little cute little young kids. Mm-hmm. So I said I would do that because now I get a chance not to teach him as a kid, but to teach him about manhood. So at 16, I can teach him about, hey, now you got 2 years to get your act together, to focus, and I'll be your support system for the rest of your life. And as God will see fit, a couple of years after that, by way of a TV show or a news broadcast, Wednesday's Child on Channel 8, WFAA, ABC or whatever, they had me mentor this young kid. And at the mentor, during the mentorship of that day, God spoke to me and said, that's your son.
Amen. And Amen. I said,
that's what we're going to do. And so Amen. A year later, he was adopted.
Amen. So what is the goal behind Kingdom Royale? What is your for the foster kids and mentoring them? What is your main goal for that?
Kingdom Royale is the extension of everything that I do privately. So privately, I follow these young kings at home. Kingdom Royale is now to pour gasoline on that and multiply it. And help 24 kids at a time. And this is on a rotating system because, you know, some kids may be with you for a couple of months. Some may be with you for a couple of years until they get permanent placement or whatnot. Mm. But it's for me to be very intentional about changing the trajectory of our African-American boys' life that have been thrusted in the foster care system with no fault of their own.
Yeah.
You know, it's the one thing, they didn't commit a crime. Only thing they did was come into this world and their parents mismanaged them. Or mismarried their parenthood, and now the kid is thrusted in what can be viewed to a child as a child jail or something. They're like, where are these people? I'm with these strangers. They telling me what to do. I don't, like, what is this about? And so I said, I'm going to make their worst day their best day.
Amen.
So the worst day that ever happened to them, where they got snatched away from their parents and are in this ambiguity, that now they're able to say, they'll come to this, to the doorsteps of this beautiful, lavish mansion, and they'll be called king, preceding their birth name, and they'll be introduced to a world that they have never experienced in their life. And they'll be treated as kings. They'll be taught things that they would have never learned. They'll get exposed to arts events and culture and
everything
they can ever imagine, and just build them up from their brokenness and teach them that, you know, God had a plan for even this worst day in your life.
Amen. Yeah, I think that's very important, because me as a African-American male, also from a poverty area, I grew up in South L.A. In Watts. So I understand that we are have already a missed advantage. We live in a poverty area. We don't have that many opportunities as other people do. And now I'm living in Delaware. I see a lot of kids.
Black people in Delaware?
Delaware. I would think the same thing, but yeah, as working in the school district as well too, I see a lot of young Black kids, and then they act out, and I'm like, you don't know how much you even got an advantage, because out here in Delaware, you have more opportunities and stuff like that. I would see, compared to me in South LA, we didn't have no football team or basketball team in middle school. We didn't have no you can wear the regular clothes. You got to wear a uniform at every school you go to. Even elementary, you have to wear a uniform because of some of the gang violence. So I think like King Darrell is an amazing thing to have for, especially foster kids though, who probably don't have no opportunity whatsoever to have a family, a father figure, anything like that. So I would definitely be giving more information about that in the description for people to donate. I know you're looking for more donations and everything for King Darrell. So I definitely will leave that in the description for those who are interested in investing into this new thing for the young children.
Planting them seeds.
Amen. Amen. So you had a number of guests on your podcast with the different topics and everything, but I want to know from the host perspective, what is something that you have learned from all these guests? You have amazing guests from Tim Ross to Tevin the Man, and all these amazing guests and celebrities had. What are some of things that you have learned from them?
The main overarching theme is that we're all trying to figure it out. That
relationships
is the most challenging thing that you could ever involve yourself in, because you have no control of the outcome of the person that you're experiencing. You know, you have no outcome of whether you go from just somebody you're dating and somebody that you marry. You have no outcome. You can't control that.
Exactly.
But it's the most beautiful thing to risk, is when you say, I'm going to risk all of me to love all of you. Write that down. That's good right there. That's the most beautiful thing to risk, that I'm going to risk all of me to love all of you. And that's what's so beautiful about it. So my podcast started from me just healing. God told me, I want you to heal publicly. I want you to show people the face of what transparency looks like, where you live intentionally and transparently, where you'll tell people, you'll admit your faults, you'll stand and show everybody your scars and say, listen, I don't have it all together. You don't watch the podcast for me to tell you what to do. You're going to watch my podcast to hear my experiences, in hopes that you glean from my experiences. The Bible says that people will be overcome by the word of your testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. And so all I'm doing is sharing my testimony in hopes that it resonates with the viewer and my guests that come on and share their testimony. And people go, wow, that's helping me to overcome whatever it is they're going through.
Amen. Amen. So speaking of your testimony, for those that watch the podcast, know that you came from a divorce. How did you overcome that? How did you find hope after that divorce? I know it was very devastating and everything. So what was one thing that you, how did you overcome that?
Well, the worst part was not that it was a divorce. It was the fact that I cheated on my wife in my marriage. And then I end up filing for divorce a few years later. So the main part was like, who am I to then divorce the woman that I cheated on? Like, what kind of dude am I? But it was me actually being honest and transparent with myself of saying, I likened my marriage to the fig tree that was cursed. It just wasn't producing any fruit. And so though I stayed just existing in the marriage, it wasn't growing. It wasn't, no matter what would happen, it just would not flourish and it wouldn't grow. And so I divorced her because I said that we owe each other better than this. We owe each other the opportunity to experience life a whole lot better than what we, you know, how we're experiencing it. And so the main part was me forgiving myself from me mismanaging this beautiful Black queen's heart and not having integrity to be faithful. She took a vow, I took a vow. I didn't honor that vow. So I had to get healed from not taking that vow and mismanaging her heart. And then the second part of actually filing for divorce when she had all biblical rights to divorce me, but she wouldn't pull the trigger. But then I took it upon myself to say, hey, let me go ahead and do it. And so it was a whole lot of healing that had to take place from just me not showing up as the man of God that God called me to be in that marriage. And so, yeah, that's that in a nutshell.
Amen. Amen. So you talked about this on the I watched your TED talk. Yeah. A lot of people probably don't even know you had a TED talk. Yeah. You made a in my case, you made a big when you made a TED talk. Oh, for real.
I said, y'all can't tell me nothing. Yesterday's rate, today's rate is not
the same. It ain't the same. It ain't the same. So you talked about the hack to end a divorce. And I me as a teacher, this was great because I believe the same aspect, the same concept for this, because just like you talked about in the TED talk, like it should be training happening. Yeah. It should be teaching happening. And me, when I went to seminary school, my professor always said that he compares it to like a license. When you get a car license, you go out there and drive.
Yeah.
You just go. And then they train you and everything, but you ain't gonna let anybody get a license. And the same thing. But we have a kid or a marriage, a lot of times people don't even get no training. They don't get no kind of expertise, no whatsoever, but they here go a license. And you said one key thing that everybody should have a 7-year expiration date on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Go into more detail about that for people that haven't watched the TED Talk. What do you mean about that?
Well, studies show that most marriages end or hit a real, they either end or they hit one of the most troubling moments around the 7-year mark. Most divorces actually end around 7 years. Even when you look at the most public divorce right now, which is Kanye and Kim Kardashian, it's their 7-year. And so studies go all the way back to the 50s show that. Well, I said that there should be training. We should know that the likelihood of you staying married after 7 years is slim to none. Now let's reverse engineer it and start back and start doing, putting infrastructure together in order to weather that 7-year itch, because it's called a 7-year itch. So let's do something now from the day one of saying I do, and they actually need to start before that, but the day one of saying I do, let's start working. Let's start having these conversations. Let's keep therapy at the forefront of our marriage. Amen. So that we're doing preventative care instead of doing something that's reactive.
And, you Amen. Know,
and that's what I believe. Amen. That's what I make sure I have when I get married the next time, is that I'm going to make sure that we have tools in place to weather the storm.
Because it's going to Exactly. It will. Definitely. I mean, me and my wife, before we got married, I recently got married 4 months ago, actually. We got married.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah. So we actually did premarital counseling. We had a premarital packet, all that kind of things like that. We had my pastor talk to us and everything like that. So we make sure that we had that kind of foundation before we even approached that step. And I think it's very important, because I even talked about this on my other episode before about Christians having therapy and counseling, because especially in the church, people don't really believe in counseling. Like, all you need is God. And we need God, but also God gives man wisdom and gives us counseling to go to people for need in those kind of areas. So I think it's very, very great that you mentioned that in that TED talk. And then I've seen that you have a meetup coming up, 22 meetup. What is that?
Oh, that's what I did for my birthday last week.
Okay.
So I did that for my birthday. I said I wasn't going to have like a birthday dinner or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I used my birthday and just spent time with my sons, because I spend a lot of time with them because I'm working all the time. Mm-hmm. And so I said, we're going to make this about y'all. Let's go hang out. And we went to the main event and played games and all that stuff. But then I said, I forgot that I said I'm going to be extremely intentional about in 2022 to celebrate every milestone, every video that goes viral. I'm gonna do something for it. I'm gonna make a post. I'm gonna treat myself to a great dinner or something to celebrate those landmarks and milestones. And so I said, well, I definitely told myself ahead of time that I was gonna celebrate my birthday with a group of friends and followers of the podcast. And that's what I did. And so now I'm actually about to plan to celebrate my 2-year anniversary of the podcast. Two-year anniversary is on April the 15th on Good Friday. But I'm just checking the email just a minute ago from a venue that I'm looking at using to actually host that and do like a live broadcast and live all kinds of stuff. So I'm just celebrating. I'm celebrating every year. It's a powerful number. The number 22 is extremely powerful, and I'm celebrating every milestone and accomplishment this year.
That's right. Amen. That's great. So before we end, I always ask my guests for one thing, and that's give some advice to your younger self. What would you tell your younger self, your 15-year-old self? What would you tell them?
I would tell young Latarius. Well, my family called me Terry, so I would say, hey, Terry. Get healing. A lot of things that, one thing that we were never taught, I never heard my mom, my dad, nobody, even churches wasn't talking about getting healing. You know, we talk about getting saved, but we never talked about getting healing from past trauma. The way that, the things that we saw growing up or way our parents did or didn't show up in our life or how they showed up, we have no idea about how that would affect us. But if you got healed early on, our decisions look a whole lot different from a healed perspective. And so my decision-making process is totally different now that I've been healed over a lot of stuff. For instance, I took a vow of abstinence in 2020. Well, in the letter that I wrote to my future wife, I said, I apologize for giving my body to all these women in the past. Well, if I had known that back then that married version of Latarius wouldn't have been so prone to cheat because I would have found value in my body ahead of time. So because I didn't understand that value, now I get married, I mismanage that, adultery, then I end up getting a divorce, and then now, you know, whoever I married again, now it's my do-over. And so, but had I understood the power of healing and the value of my own body, I wouldn't have mismanaged it throughout all these years.
So before we leave, Latarius, can you tell people where can they find you at, what you got coming up next and everything and what you're working on?
Main thing, YouTube. Go to YouTube, subscribe to the Dear Future Wifey podcast. Subscribe. Instagram, Latarius R. Whitfield. My podcast is Dear Future Wifey podcast on Instagram. Follow all those pages. What I have coming up, we're going to see, because it's a lot. It's just too much. Like, it's too much. Like, I'm in talks with TV show deals and movie deals and everything. As those come to fruition, because I'm believing God for it, then I'll be at liberty to share exactly what those are.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Latarius. I appreciate you for joining the podcast, and I'm so grateful for having you on the podcast. I'm pretty sure that we definitely will link up once again in the future, maybe on our podcast once again, or maybe on Meet My Wife's podcast. But thank you so much for being on the show with me. For all those who are listening, I would definitely be linking everything that we discussed in the description below about his YouTube channel. Make sure to subscribe to help him get to that 1,000 subscriber mark, and make sure to check out everything that he is doing on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and everything that he has upcoming. But thank you so much for all those who are listening, and the only reason you was able to listen to this, and the only reason you was here, is because you was stopped by grace.
Ladarian, thrusted suddenly into Child Protective Services in 2015. My nephew, black, a boy. The likelihood of being adopted outside of kinship, slim to none. Armani, 16 years old, black, a boy, with 5 years in the foster care system before I even knew his name. The likelihood of ever being adopted, yep, you guessed it. Slim to none. While Ladarian and Armani were trying to survive and barely thrive in an overpopulated and underfunded foster care system, I was living my own life, doing well professionally, having been a single father with a daughter who at that point was doing well in college. It was my time to live my life, right? Wrong. I felt unsettled, tireless, agitated. There are just too many of our black children stuck in ambiguity and in the limbo of the foster care system. In 2017, I legally adopted my nephew, Ladarian. Fast forward to 2019, I had no ties to this other young king, but I felt God instructed me to adopt him also, and I obeyed. Starting over with parenting should have been enough, right? Working with various foster care and adoption agencies to help bring awareness to the countless young black kings in the foster care system should have decreased my agitation, right? Join the board of directors of Advantage Adoption, an organization that helps find permanent adoptive homes for children in foster care. Should have led to some type of resolve, right? No, not at all. None of it felt like I had done enough. I now realize that every one of those experiences was laying the fundamental foundation for my life's mission, Kingdom Royale. Kingdom Royale will be a luxury state-of-the-art home for foster boys. Our first location will be in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. We will utilize the whole person approach that instills identity, empowers them to advocate for themselves, and enlightens them regarding new perspectives and limitless options that they thought were impossible. Though the young kings will attend the local public schools that are in proximity to Kingdom Royale, our at-home curriculum will broaden their worldview through participating in the arts, attending various cultural events, learning about and engaging in multifaceted discussions about current events and even relevant historical contexts, introducing them to gardening and landscaping and even caring for our animals on our farm and on-site stables. We just launched our startup capital campaign with the goal of raising $2.8 million. Now, why $2.8 million? Well, in 2017, I created a web series in which I performed random acts of kindness for targeting the homeless community. One of the most notable successes was that one of the videos went viral, garnering 28 million views. However, one of my biggest regrets is that I didn't raise a single dollar to help in implementing a more sustainable plan for the homeless community. So throughout the years, with much remorse, I reflected on not maximizing that moment. I knew if at that time, just 10% of the viewers donated $1, we would have raised at least $2.8 million that could have really established long-term support for the homeless community, or at least started a long-term initiative to do so. This is my do-over. This is our new beginning. Together, we can attack this at the root by specifically helping our homeless Black boys who are already disproportionately represented in the American foster care system. I'm LaTerris R. Whitfield. I've been nominated for 3 regional Emmys documenting my work with the homeless as well as my personal adoption journey. Despite those accolades, the greatest award for me is truly providing the infrastructure for a transformed life. Visit KingdomRoyale.com for more details. Crown a king and make a donation today.
New episodes are available every Monday on all streaming platforms. Make sure to follow us on Spotify, leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, and leave a comment review, and your review can be read on next week's episode. Video version also available on YouTube. Subscribe for more video content. Share this episode so somebody can be encouraged, and follow us on all social media platforms at Stopped by Grace. God bless you.